Ian Besarabi joining us, the future of work. Ian, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. Good morning, Zanati. I'm very well, thanks, and you?
Ian, we are heading, hopefully heading towards the end of lockdown. Certainly, the curve is flattening, according to Dr. Anton Marburg this morning. We are seeing some very positive signs around it. That means that soon we will be emerging from our cocoons, no doubt, as butterflies, maybe a little heavier butterflies.
So I think we may need a bit of a longer runway to take off, Howard, as you say. We may be carrying a bit more of a load, but I think the interesting thing which is starting to emerge as I start engaging with people specifically in the business field, but also in the personal field, is that a lot of people are starting to overcome their fear with a desire to look at life from a very different perspective. And what I mean from that, how people are now looking at how do they emerge stronger after this experience of lockdown and hang on or latch onto an appreciation for life and use that as a springboard for growth, in our personal careers. And I was listening a little bit earlier to your previous guest who was talking about how he's
Moshe Lichtenstein, who released a single because he had the time to do that, or because they weren't playing at other weddings and other functions, so they could he could focus on producing this video and producing this this new single.
Absolutely, and I think, Howard, I recall right at the beginning when we were like preparing for lockdown, we were having these discussions, and I recall having the discussion with you, I think, on the show, where you were saying, what are you going to be doing during this time? What are you going to use the lockdown time? Because we were all thinking about, like, gee, what are we going to do at home? And I think that was the important thing, was to take that time to reflect and look at our lives and almost recalibrate, you know, like almost have a full reboot. But the important thing now is that since we've had all of that time, how do we take that back?
What do we want to keep and what don't we want to keep?
What do we do with it? How do we make sure we don't rush out and just go back to bad ways or bad habits? Culture is a big thing.
So often when I'm meeting with a team or I'm meeting with a group of people who are working on a project, I ask them three questions, and those three questions are: in terms of support, let's say that the company is giving you, what should we continue doing? What should we stop doing? And what should we start doing, i.e. what would you like us to do? And I just wonder if we can't adapt those questions now to lockdown and say, what do we want to continue around this? What do we not want to take away from this? In other words, what don't we like and what didn't work for us? And now that we're sort of emerging from it, what do we start doing that we weren't doing?
So Howard, I'd like to take a stab at the one that we should continue to do, because I think it's one that speaks the loudest to me. And that is about continuing to be more human. And I think that's the thing that has been profound for me.
Especially in the work environment.
I love that. Mm. I absolutely love that.
And I think it's where we've now had an experience through all the aspects, you know, like work from home is like an old topic, and we don't talk about that stuff anymore because it's now part of life and our homes, which were typically our most private places, have now become opened up to a broader like group of people. And if you think about the proliferation of video conferencing, we've been given glimpses of normal people, of people that are normal, with kids shouting in the background, delivery drivers knocking loudly at the door, pets demanding attention. You know, I can name millions of them that have happened to me personally during my conference calls. I had a conference call with someone where their cat jumped in front of the screen the person could move their cat.
I have to lock my cat out of the room.
Yesterday, I saw behind someone in a Zoom call a calendar of these very sexy ladies. And I was like, what?
Wow.
I was just waiting for this person to move away, and he just wouldn't move.
That's
from the
terrible
character. So yeah, those are the things that we are seeing.
Wow.
But I think Zanati, to that point, and I love what you're saying, because I think we've all had that experience. Because we're all, I guess we're all curious. I'll use it curious rather than saying nosy.
I'm
terrible with it. And that's why, like, when I get onto a call, I actually hope somebody doesn't use a virtual background, because I actually like to look at what's going on in the background.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's terrible. And that's why I'm very conscious of what my background always looks like, is because I know what I'm like. But having said that, I think that in my experience, people are more patient. They're more accepting. They're more empathetic and kind of more understanding of your coworkers during calls. You know what I mean? And I think there's this general acceptance that this has been new for everyone.
And so what you're saying is the humanity of it. That's what you would like to take away from it.
Absolutely. It's not tense. You know, the meetings have been more relaxed, and I dare to say it, Howard, that many meetings I've been on, online meetings, have been more productive. As most people don't just want to get off the damn call. They don't want to get off the call because they're actually enjoying it in some ways, you know? So it's not like this rush, like, okay, what's your point, Howard? Where are you going with it? So if we want to take away this stuff, is don't lose these aspects of we all went on this journey together. We all went online together. If you want to talk about it, we all joined that first Zoom call together. And we all experienced in one way or another the challenges. So maybe people will have adapted quicker, and some people will be more fluid in it, and people will have embraced it a lot more. Don't forget that you were there where other people haven't got to yet. And people are still grappling with it, but embrace it and be human about it. Don't give somebody a hard time if they don't share their screen within a millisecond, you know what I mean? Don't be, to Zanati's point, don't chastise the person if they've got a picture on their wall. Maybe just suggest, maybe use a different background or position your laptop differently next time, you know?
Right.
And I think those are the things that as we go back and we start using those things, even if it goes beyond the video conferencing that we've spoken about, we'll emerge from this pandemic, I believe, craving much more richer and deeper lives. And you know, I really don't want to disrespect those lives and families that have suffered hardship and loss. And this global,
and many of our listeners have, by the way, many of our listeners have written to say, you know, you guys always talk about this online thing, but I'm a handyman, or I'm an electrician, or whatever it would be. Now I think things are getting a little bit more back to normal, but there was a period where a lot of our listeners were not working at all, and that was enormously stressful.
Absolutely. And that's why I'm saying that don't look at this from the perspective of what you've lost. And I hear that. And I'm not talking about material loss and the financial loss, and everything has been catastrophic from people. But unfortunately that is gone, and we can't get that back. But let's look at what we've gained. And if I harp on a little bit about it, but look at the humanity we've got. Look at the connections we've made. Look at the experiences we've had. I just look at some of the things that we've done. I've participated and I get involved in a lot of online family events now. I see people that have connected on family simchas and that if this pandemic wouldn't have happened, these families wouldn't have participated together in a function, as an example. I look at all the online events that people have been privileged to attend, all the community hosted events. You know, I think rabbis are in their element. They've never had so many people attending shiurim.
I think it's amazing that there's so much available, and I believe that a lot of these shiurim are not going back to a physical or these lectures, these evening lectures, are not going back, because what it's done is it's given access to people who don't want to drive at night or go out at night, who are just happy to sit in their living room or in their bedroom or wherever they are and just engage and listen to something that's of interest. And I love that. I love how the shuls and universities and companies and people have innovated. We've got on Thursday evening a quiz evening for a company, and that's just so great, and everyone's excited about it because the kids get involved, and then we get to meet the kids and the family and everybody, you know, and I think that is so awesome, because it would not have happened. It didn't happen before lockdown.
And Howard, I think that's the, as you say, the inclusivity is that people, more people are being included that were typically felt they were excluded because they felt it wasn't relevant to them. But now they're finding it may not be impacting or benefiting their companies or their specific roles directly. But the fact that they're included and everybody can participate in a quiz, irrespective of what you do, means that we hopefully will continue to have this hybrid environment where everybody sees the value of it. And there's a fascinating book that I read a while ago. It's called A Short History of Nearly Everything, by Bill Bryson. And in it he says—
Could you read it? I found it so hectic.
Did you? But no. I loved the one part out of it. I read it a while back, so maybe I need to reread it, but in a different headspace. But the one thing that came up was life is precious, life is short, and a long human life lasts only 650,000 hours. That's how he puts it. Okay, now I love these things where they put things into hours. But there was another comment. Somebody wrote in one of the comments about the book that in the States that we spend an average of 54 hours a year in traffic. You know, so if you think of like, you compound that and all of that, think about that if we took those hours that we spend in traffic unproductively and cursing the traffic lights that never worked and all of that stuff, and you translate that into stuff that you can do now, it certainly makes life better spent. And I guess the message for me is about humanity, and that is that be cognizant of how you spend your time, not in terms of how you waste your time. And I think that's the important thing of going back, is as we go back, don't lose sight of what we've gained during lockdown.
But Ian, before we let you go, how do we go about working out what are the things that we want to keep and those are the things that we don't?
So Howard, there was a great movie back in the 80s. Some of your listeners may remember. It's called Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, best movie. And best movie. Matthew
best
Broderick.
Best movie ever.
Matthew Broderick. Huge fan.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So there's a great quote that comes out of that movie where Ferris Bueller says, "Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it." Mm. And I think that the important thing is don't rush back into what you knew. Rush back into or embrace into what you want. And what I mean by that is look at your work environment that you're going back into. Look at your value system. Look at your culture. Look at all of the things that have become important to you over the last few months of this year, and take those things into your daily lives. And I think if we go in eyes wide open and we look around
another movie.
And assess. Mm-hmm. We will ensure that we embrace those things. But I think if we rush back out and we just do what we used to doing, we're going to lose it very quickly, and it'll be very difficult to get it back.
Indeed. That is absolutely wise words, Ian Basarabi. Thank you as always. We'll catch you next week.